Dhakatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Dhakatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something that honestly might just change how you see, well, everything around you, your choices, the world you live in.
That's right.
We are diving into Steve Bruce's book, Sociology, Structure, Agency, and Social Change. It's all about those invisible forces.
Exactly. Invisible forces. Bruce's main point, really, is that you just can't understand why people do what they do if you only look at them as individuals.
Right.
You absolutely have to zoom out. Look at the social context, the structures, the institutions, the culture. They're all shaping our lives constantly, often without us even noticing.
So it's like trying to understand a river just by looking at one fish, maybe. You miss the current, the banks, the whole ecosystem.
That's a great way to put it.
Uh-huh.
And right away, Bruce hits us with the central puzzle. How do societies manage to stay stable, you know,
right,
mostly the same day to day, while also dealing with constant, sometimes massive, change?
That is the big question, isn't it? Order and change. How?
Well, the stability, he argues, comes from those embedded structures, the norms, the laws, the institutions. But the change, that comes from us, from human action, or what sociologists call agency.
Agency, our ability to act.
Precisely. And it's this constant push and pull between structure and agency that C. Wright Mills famously called the sociological imagination.
Ah, the sociological imagination. I've heard that term.
It's this unique way of seeing things that lets you connect your own personal experiences, maybe your struggles with finding a job or feeling stressed,
yeah,
to these larger social patterns.
Yeah.
Mills said it helps us see how private troubles are often actually public issues.
Okay, that clicks. It's not just me. It's us and the system we're in. So before we dig deeper into the book's ideas, tell us a bit about Steve Bruce himself. Why him?
Okay. Steve Bruce, he's a very well-respected British sociologist, professor emeritus at Aberdeen University. He's had a career spanning something like 4 decades.
40 years. Wow.
Yeah. And his specific focus is incredibly relevant here. Sociology of religion, politics, social change. That's his wheelhouse.
That intersection, religion, politics, change, feels crucial. I mean, religion often involves deeply personal beliefs. That's pure agency, right?
Right.
But it also exists within these huge ancient institutions. That's structure. So he studied that tension point directly.
Exactly. His work on things like secularization,
yeah,
you know, religion fading in the West or fundamentalism, it puts him right at that fault line where individual beliefs smash up against social reality.
So he's perfectly placed to write this kind of book.
Absolutely. He's got this knack for taking really complex, sometimes quite dense sociological theory.
Which can be pretty dry.
It can be, yeah. But he makes it accessible, clear language, but without dumbing it down. Plus, he's done a lot of comparative work, looking at Britain versus the U.S., for example. So he brings this broader critical view.
So it's not just theory floating in space. He connects it. And the book itself, Sociology, it's not just for academics then.
Not at all. He really intends it as a practical guide, almost. A tool to help you develop what he calls sociological consciousness.
Sociological consciousness. Basically, learning to see those invisible forces we talked about.
That's it. Seeing them in your own life, in everyday situations. And the scope is huge. He starts with really fundamental questions. What does it mean to be human in society? And takes you all the way up to global systems.
Wow.
He shows how social factors influence, well, almost everything. Your career path, who you marry, political shifts, economic ups and downs, it's all connected.
And you mentioned it feels timely. What makes it so relevant right now?
Well, he puts a real focus on contemporary issues. Things like globalization, the massive impact of technology on, say, family life or our identities.
Yeah.
And he tackles persistent inequality, even in countries that call themselves democracies. He's constantly linking these big sociological ideas to stuff we see in the news every day.
Okay, let's dive into the core ideas then. Where does he start in the book?
He starts with the basics. Chapters 1 and 2 really lay the groundwork. First off, what is sociology? And crucially, how is it different from, say, psychology or just everyday common sense?
Right, because people might think, I live in society, I know how it works. Common sense.
Exactly. But sociology does something different. Psychology typically looks inside the individual head. Sociology steps back. It looks for patterns across large groups.
Patterns, okay. Like what?
Like Why do certain groups consistently do better in school? Or why are divorce rates higher in some areas than others? Or even something as dark as suicide rates? Sociologists look for the social factors, not just individual reasons. It changes the question from what's wrong with this person to potentially what's going on in this society.
That's a big shift in perspective.
It is, and that leads him straight into the core tension of the whole book. Structure versus agency.
We mentioned that earlier, structure being the rules, the systems.
Yeah, the social class you're born into. Yeah. The laws, the expectations, the institutions, they limit our choices, you know, like guardrails on a road.
But we're not just puppets, right? That's the agency part.
Precisely. Bruce emphasizes that individuals, especially acting together, are constantly pushing against those guardrails, bending them, changing them. He uses this brilliant analogy, language.
Language? How does that work?
Think about grammar. Those are the rules, the structure.
Yeah.
They constrain how we speak if we want to be understood.
Okay, makes sense.
But think about how language actually changes. Slang pops up, new words are invented, the way we use phrases evolves over time. That's agency. People using the language collectively changing the structure itself.
Ah, I see. The rules give it stability, but usage keeps it alive and evolving. That's a great analogy.
Isn't it? It perfectly captures that dynamic. So once we grasp that structure agency dance, Bruce moves on to how these rules shape who we become. Chapters 3 and 4 get into identity and inequality.
Okay, identity, how we become us.
Yeah, he talks about culture and socialization, basically, how we learn the ropes of the society we're born into, how we internalize its norms and values. He also brings in ideas like subcultures.
Different groups within a society.
Right. And cultural relativism, which is a tricky but important concept. It means trying to understand another culture on its own terms, not judging it by your own cultural standards.
That is tricky. Can you give a practical example? Something every day.
Sure. Think about family obligations. Bruce might discuss, say, multicultural Britain. In some cultural groups, there might be a very strong expectation to financially support not just your parents, but maybe aunts, uncles, cousins.
Right.
For another group, that same level of financial sharing might seem like an unreasonable burden, interfering with individual goals. Cultural relativism isn't about saying one is right and one is wrong. It's about understanding why the role and function of family is defined differently. It's socially constructed.
Okay, got it. Understanding the different rule books. And that construction, that difference, leads into inequality.
Directly. He talks about social stratification. Basically, how societies are layered, like rock strata, usually based on class, status, power. He mentions Marx's focus on economics, but also Weber's idea that it's more complex status and power matter, too.
So not just about money.
Not just money. The key takeaway from Bruce here is about life chances. Your position in this hierarchy dramatically affects your opportunities, the quality of school you can access, the networks you have for jobs, even your health and how long you live.
That really pushes back against the simple idea that everyone succeeds just based on hard work, doesn't it?
It absolutely complicates that narrative. It shows the systemic barriers and advantages built into the structure itself, which then leads him into looking at how societies maintain order despite these tensions. Chapters 5 and 6 cover order and institutions.
Order, how things don't just fall apart.
Right. He looks at deviance and social control. What's fascinating here is his point that deviance breaking the rules, crime isn't fixed. It's socially constructed. What's considered criminal changes massively over time and between cultures.
Like how attitudes towards certain drugs have shifted, for example.
Exactly. Or think about historical views on things like homosexuality. Mm. And the control part isn't just police and prisons, though they're part of it.
What else counts as control?
Bruce highlights the big social institutions.
Yeah.
Family, education, religion, the economy, government. They all perform necessary functions, obviously. But he argues they also act as subtle, powerful mechanisms of social control. They help maintain the existing order, often in ways that reinforce existing inequalities.
Hmm. Can you unpack that a bit? How does, say, education act as control?
Well, think about standardized testing in schools. On the surface, it seems fair, objective, but sociologists often find these tests reward certain types of knowledge and ways of thinking, what they call cultural capital, that children from more privileged backgrounds tend to already possess.
Ah, so the system looks neutral, but it ends up sorting kids in ways that often reflect their starting point.
Precisely. It educates, yes, but it also sorts, tracks, and subtly reinforces the existing social hierarchy. And Bruce notes how these institutions themselves are under pressure, changing rapidly, especially due to technology.
Which brings us neatly to the final section, right? Power and Change, chapters 7 and 8.
Exactly. Here he tackles power and politics head on. How is power distributed? How is it used? What makes authority legitimate? And crucially, what role do social movements play in challenging power and driving change?
So this is where agency really comes back to the forefront, people pushing for change.
Definitely. He uses very current examples. Think about the rise of populist movements globally, or the incredible impact of social media on political organizing and protest.
Social media seems like a double-edged sword there.
Absolutely. Bruce would point out it's a powerful tool for collective agency, for mobilizing people like never before. But it can also fragment society, spread misinformation, and be used to undermine stable institutions. It perfectly shows that tension between change and stability.
So the challenge he leaves us with is how to navigate this constant change, especially now that everything is so interconnected globally.
That's the big takeaway. Managing social transformation in a world where local events can have global consequences and vice versa.
Okay, so stepping back from the chapters, if you had to pull out, say, 3 core messages from Bruce that people should really remember, what would they be?
All right, 3 key themes. First, and we keep coming back to it, is the power of that sociological imagination.
Seeing the link between your life and the bigger picture.
Yes. It's absolutely vital for recognizing how much of what feels like purely personal choice, who you marry, your career path, even your tastes, is actually shaped by wider social forces.
So the reflection for listeners might be, think about your own hometown. How did its economic history, maybe the decline of an industry, affect the job opportunities available to you or your parents? It wasn't just about personal ambition.
Exactly. Context matters hugely. Second big theme, the social construction of reality.
Meaning things aren't natural just because they seem normal?
Precisely. Bruce argues so many things we take for granted. Ideas about gender roles, what counts as deviant behavior, even racial categories aren't fixed biological facts. They are created, maintained, and sometimes changed by society.
And the implication of that is huge.
It's incredibly empowering. If society constructed these things, then society, through collective action, can reconstruct them. It opens the door for challenging inequalities and pushing for real social reform. It fosters tolerance by showing our way isn't the only way.
Okay. Sociological imagination, social construction. What's the third?
The third has to be the globalization of social life.
We touched on this. We're all connected now.
More than ever. Global economic pressures, cultural flows through media, instantaneous communication. These things are reshaping our local communities, our relationships, creating new forms of organization, but also, unfortunately, new kinds of inequality that span the globe.
So thinking about how something like TikTok trends, originating maybe thousands of miles away, can influence behavior or social dynamics right here in our local community, that's globalization in action.
That's a perfect everyday example. Or how a social movement can use global platforms to build international solidarity. Our local lives are deeply woven into global processes now.
Bruce definitely packs a punch with these big ideas. Does he offer any particularly memorable ways of phrasing them? Any standout quotes or core ideas?
He does. He has a way of crystallizing complex thoughts. Of course, the foundational one isn't originally his, but he builds on it heavily. C. Wright Mills' idea.
Let's hear it again.
The sociological imagination allows us to graft the relationship between history and biography, between public issues and private troubles. It's that constant reminder. Your personal story unfolds within a larger historical and social drama.
Connecting the dots. What else?
I really like his metaphor for culture, which you mentioned earlier. Culture is like a lens through which we see the world. It doesn't determine what we see, but it certainly affects how we interpret what we see.
A filter, right. Explains why two people can witness the same event and have completely different takes on it.
Exactly. It highlights that subtle but pervasive influence of our cultural background on perception. And one more, quite challenging one, regarding inequality.
Go on.
Inequality is not a natural fact, but a social creation that can be changed through understanding and collective action.
That's a direct challenge to just accepting things as they are.
It is. It's a call to action based on sociological understanding. Because we built these structures of inequality, theoretically, we have the agency to dismantle or change them. It pushes back against fatalism.
Okay, these are powerful ideas. But how can someone listening right now actually use this knowledge? What are the practical real-life applications?
Bruce's work offers quite a few. For starters, think about professional and career development.
How so?
understanding how institutions work, the importance of social networks, not just who you know, but how those networks function as systems, and recognizing things like cultural capital.
The unspoken rules and knowledge.
Right. Knowing that stuff helps you strategize better. It helps you navigate workplace politics, understand hidden barriers, maybe approach networking more deliberately to access those crucial social systems. It can give you an edge in tackling workplace inequality.
I can see that. I remember switching jobs once and feeling totally lost, not because of the work itself, but because I didn't get the company culture, the informal rules. Bruce explains why that matters so much.
Exactly. Another huge application is in understanding conflict and diversity.
Improving communication.
And empathy. Using the sociological lens on culture and stratification helps you understand why people from different backgrounds might have different perspectives, values, or ways of communicating. It moves you past just getting frustrated towards actually understanding the different social realities people inhabit. Incredibly valuable in diverse workplaces or communities.
Absolutely. Less judgment, more understanding. Anything else?
Yes. A really crucial one today. Media literacy and critical thinking.
How does sociology help with fake news and all that?
Bruce constantly emphasizes basing knowledge on evidence, on systematic observation. That's the core of the sociological method. Applying that rigor helps you become a much more critical consumer of information, whether it's news articles or social media feeds.
So questioning sources, looking for patterns, recognizing bias.
And recognizing your own biases, the ones shaped by your social position and cultural lens. It's about developing a healthier skepticism and a demand for actual evidence.
That's incredibly useful. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Bruce's sociology, what's the one thing that really stood out for you? Your final takeaway?
For me, I think the most powerful thing is that fundamental shift from individualistic thinking to structural thinking when looking at social problems. Our society tends to default to blaming or praising the individual.
Right, the self-made person or the personal failing.
Exactly. Bruce forces you to constantly ask, what are the social conditions? What are the systemic factors? What structures are shaping these outcomes? And shifting your perspective like that, it doesn't just make for better analysis. I genuinely think it fosters more compassion.
Interesting. Compassion through understanding the constraints people face.
Yes. And it points towards more effective solutions, fixing the structure, not just trying to fix the individual. It feels like truly empowering knowledge.
Yeah.
What about you? What resonated most?
I think for me, it was that core tension he explores throughout the dynamic between stability and change. You look around, and institutions like government or education can seem so massive, so slow, almost unchangeable.
They often are incredibly persistent.
Right. But Bruce never lets you forget the other side. Human agency. That constant potential for individuals, especially acting collectively, to push back, to innovate, to demand change, and sometimes to actually achieve it. It's a realistic view acknowledging the inertia and the possibility. It doesn't promise easy fixes, but it validates the effort. It feels like a call to keep pushing thoughtfully.
A call to informed action. Well put.
It really is. A truly perspective-shifting deep dive into Steve Bruce's sociology, structure, agency, and social change. Thanks for guiding us through it.
My pleasure. It's important stuff to think about.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.